We now begin the fourth parak of Maseches Avos. This is Ben-Zoma. Ben-Zoma, you'll note, of course, doesn't have Rebbe before his name. His name was Shimon Ben-Zoma. He doesn't have the name Rebbe because he died young, and therefore he didn't live long enough to get smicha. However, he is emphasized in Chazal as being one of the, really, the Gedolei Hador of his generation, and he was in the generation with Rebbe Akiva, so that's not saying a lot. The Gemara, the Mishnah actually in Sota, the ninth parak, Mishnah 15, says, Mishemes ben Zoma batlu hadarshanim. When Ben Zoma died, the darshanim, those who expounded the Torah, the great expounders, were no longer with us. And he was the greatest of the darshanim. And he is, his drashas are made famous, I think, from the very first parak of Maseches Brachos, the beginning, and also in the Haggadah, where it's Ben Zoma who come to support Elazar ben Azariah's contention about mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim morning and night, and it's his drasha sort of save the day, if you will. Also, there's a Gemara in Brachos, Nun Zayin on the base, talking about dream interpretation. It says, Haroa ben Zoma b'chalom, if you see ben Zoma in your dream, yitzapel chachma, you can anticipate chachma, wisdom, because he really was renowned as being sort of this extraordinary chacham, brilliant. And here ben Zoma says, a very famous Mishnah. I think it's one of the more famous Mishnahs here in Maseches Avos. I'll read the whole thing first. It says, Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham, who is the wise person? Halomen Bikol Adam, one who learns from everybody. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, from all of my teachers I gained wisdom, I got smarter. Ezehu Gibur, who is the powerful person? Hakovesh Es Yitzro, the one who suppresses his Yetzer Hara. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Tov erech ha'apayim, patience is greater, migibur, from a like a war hero, a mighty person, u'moshel barucho miloched ir, and one who controls his spirit is greater than one who captures a city. Ezu ashir, who is the wealthy person, hasamech b'chalko, the one who is happy with his portion. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, yegia kapecha kisochel. If one eats from the work of his own hands, ashrecha v'tovlach, you are one who eats from his own hands, self-sufficient, he is ashrecha, he's fortunate, v'tovlach, and it's good for him. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, it's good for you in this world, you're fortunate in this world, v'tovlach l'olam haba, and it's good for you in the next world. Ezu m'chubad, and fourth and finally, who is the m'chubad, the person worthy of respect? Ha-mechabed esabrios, one who respects others. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Ki mechabdai achabed uvozai yekalu. Hashem speaking, this is in Shmuel. Hashem says, those who respect me, I shall respect. Uvozai, those who disgrace me, disparage me, yekalu, they shall be accursed. So that's the Mishnah. Now, there are a couple of approaches to the Mishnah, like sort of two basic fundamental approaches to the Mishnah. One approach, we'll call this the approach of Barbanel, he's not alone, understands that these four things are the four things that a person is driven to achieve in this world. Perhaps it's coming from a place of insecurity, but everyone is looking to sort of convince themselves, at least, that they're worthy, they're good. And these kind of the four dimensions which people pursue. People try to be one or all of the following: to be wise, or powerful, or rich, or respected, or all the above. And the point of the Mishnah here, according to that approach, is that it's a fool's errand to try to be rich or powerful or wise, etc., in a subjective way, in an extrinsic way, doing it based on, you know, being smarter than the next guy, richer than the next guy. That's a fool's errand because it's a joke. I mean, you think you're so smart, you're not as smart as a, you know, AI chatbot. You think you're so strong, you one little amoeba can take you down. You're rich. I mean, compared to a really rich person or whatever, or the state, you've got nothing. Even the richest person's got nothing compared to like a sovereign wealth fund. You think you're respected, and they're just respecting you, you know, because you to get something out of it. So if that's what's going on, so then you're kidding yourself, and that's not worth anything at all. So, in that being the case, the Mishnah comes to redefine what a person should be pursuing when he's looking for wisdom, to be considered a wise person or a wealthy person, a powerful person, a respected person. That's not to say that these things aren't worthy pursuits. In fact, the Ruach Chaim, Chaim Belozner, points out that there's a Gemara in Nedarim, Lamed Ches, which in Rabbi Yochanan says that the Shechina only rests on people who are powerful, wealthy, wise, and humble. So that's three out of the four here. Instead of Chubad, it's humble, it's Anava. But the other three is indeed that the person has to be a Gibor and an Ashir and a Chacham. So you see, that's the Shechina to rest in you. So Hashem cares about these things too. This is sort of worth pursuing, and Hashem's attracted to these things, and you kind of need them if you want to really have a proper connection to Hashem. So that begs the question, so how is that fair? How can a person do that? I mean, how can not everyone can be rich and not everyone can be smart? You know, that's how you, some people are born certain ways and in certain circumstances, and you can't get around it. So the solution of Ruach Chaim is that the fourth thing, humble, humility, anava, so your person can't be humble unless he has, you know, what to be humble about. Otherwise, he's just, you know, he's being realistic. To be an anav means that you understand that you have these kochos, you have this power or this wealth, this wisdom, but you relate to it from anava, understanding, you know, you who you really are in its real context, and not blowing yourself out of proportion, which is the opposite of anava. And therefore, his approach is that all these things that the bishop is teaching you is, yes, it's important to be a gibor and an ashir and a chacham, but the way you do it is do it as a person of humility. So I'll that's one approach. Well, actually, I guess that's the second approach. So we had the Barbanel approach that essentially everyone wants this stuff, but here's what you really want. The second approach is the, 1B, if you will, is the approach of the Chaim Belozner, that you have to do it, but do it from a way of humility. And then the third approach, if you will, is the approach that's called for the Bar Tanur. The Bar Tanur understands that there's a Pasuk. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu talks about three of these four things. And it says, this is Yirmiyahu, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chochmaso. The wise person shouldn't praise himself for his, congratulate himself for his wisdom. Val Yishalel HaGibor B'Gvuraso. And the powerful person shouldn't congratulate himself and rejoice in his power. Val Yishal Ashir B'Oshro. And the rich person shouldn't, you know, rejoice and praise himself for his wealth. Ki im bezos yishalel hamishalel. Only this is worth rejoicing in and praising oneself about. Haskel veyadoa osi. That which comes a person to have a relationship with and understand and know Hashem. That's what Hashem says through the Navi. So according to the Bar Tanura, there are three, the first three things of this Mishnah are really echoing the Yirmiyahu Pasuk. And they're saying, the only wisdom we're talking about is wisdom that brings you close to Hashem. The only power we're talking about is the power that brings you close to Hashem. The only wealth is the wealth that brings you close to Hashem. That's what's worth praising oneself. Okay, so that's a kind of a third approach, if you will, which will leave the fourth topic of kavod to be treated separately, because not in the pasuk with your miyahu. Okay, so those are the kind of the approaches to the Mishnah. Let's just go through each one. There's a lot to be said here. The Mishnah is inside Benzoma Omer Ezu Chacham. What does it mean to be a Chacham, a wise person? Halomen Mikol Adam. Someone who learns from everybody. So the Bar Tanura's approach is, right, this is who is, so to speak, worth congratulating himself for. It's the kind of Chachma that brings you close to Hashem, not Chachma for its own sake. Okay? According to the, like they call the Barbanel approach, it's the, what's the chacham, you want to be wise, so it's only wise, not wise in the next step, but being intrinsically wise. You have the orientation of a wise person. According to the Ruach Chaim, it means how would an anav, a person's humble, relate to wisdom, relate to being a wise person. So the answer is by seeking, by being a learner, by being open to learn from everybody. In other words, so that's a person whose chachma can bring close to Hashem because he relates to everybody as having someone to teach. So Hashem can convey his messages and he can understand the whole world because everything is there to teach him how to relate to Hashem. The Barbanel approach of it, you know, don't compare yourself to the next guy. You know, what you know relative is a drop in the ocean compared to Hashem and what there is to know. Don't kid yourself. But if what defines you as someone who's a learner, a lover of wisdom, that is someone that's worth talking about. That's worth, you know, that's the, that person is intrinsically a chacham. And the Ruach Chaim's approach, of Chaim Volozhin's approach, is that how would a person who's an anav but a chacham be? He wouldn't think he's so clever. He would have enough of humility to understand that there's so much more to learn, and everyone that is around him has something to teach him. Like a well-known thing, you know, Torah is compared to water. If you're thirsty, you don't care where the water comes from. You just want water wherever you can find it. So if someone who has Sama Nafsho, his soul thirsts for Torah wisdom, so he'll be happy to get it from wherever he can get it. Okay? Now the proof text, and the proof text for all of the four cases here are pretty interesting. They don't actually necessarily sort of prove what the Mishnah is saying. It's actually, to the contrary, sort of adds to the Mishnah, which is pretty interesting. But here we have Shneamar Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. This is a pasuk from David Melech. It's a quote from Tehillim, which means I became wiser from all of my teachers. So the point is, you're relating to everybody as being a teacher. That's sort of the surface level of it. But that very pasuk ends Ki Edo Secha Sichali. For your Torah, I'll call it, is what I talk about. And there in Kuf Yutest, in that Perek of Tehillim, right before it says that Ma Hafti Sorasecha Kol Hayom Hisicha Si, how I love your Torah because it's what I talk about, what I want to talk about. So the point is that the person's orientation here is someone who is interested in one thing, Hashem's Torah, and wherever he can find it from anybody, he's prepared to learn. And that's the kind of wisdom worth being praised for, says the Bar Tanura. That's the attitude of a person who is an anav. He doesn't rest on his laurels and satisfy the way he knows. He wants to learn more from anybody and everybody who could, says the Ruach Chaim. And, you know, you're intrinsically a chacham if you are someone who loves wisdom and pursues it wherever you can get it, and that's not a function of what you know, but everyone can be a chacham right now if their orientation is towards chachma, would say the Abar Benel. Then the next part of the Mishnah says, I should point out, by the way, fine. Ezehu Gibur HaKovesh Yitzro. Who is the powerful person? Someone who's Kovesh Es Yitzro. Someone who suppresses, controls his Yetzahara. Now, Kovesh doesn't mean bittul. It doesn't mean annul the Yetzahara. The Gemara speaks out, the Yetzahara has some, you know, it's a necessary evil, if you will. Without a Yetzahara, people wouldn't build their businesses, they wouldn't get married and have children, they wouldn't, you know, so this, the Yetzahara drives us to do things that are necessary. But a person has to be Kovesh, he has to suppress, he has to be in control. He has to control the Yetzahara, not it control him. Again, so powerful person, what's power we're talking about? Power that brings you close to Hashem, says the Bar Tanura. And therefore, what the power we're talking about here is the self-control. Controlling other people, what does that help you in relation to Hashem? Nothing. But a self-control is what allows you to do mitzvahs and avoid averas, and that indeed is worth we're talking about because it brings you close to Hashem. Approach of the Ruach Chaim. So how does a humble person approach power? Not by controlling others, but by controlling himself. And the Bar Barnell approach, how does a person, what's a real gibor, a real powerful person? I mean, the strongest human being can't stand up to a horse, let alone a machine gun. You know, so it's a joke. But a person who is in self-control, he's objectively strong. And that's what you should be, that power you should be looking to attain and achieve. Says the Pasuk Shneamar, this is the proof text. Again, it's a funny proof text, but it's additive rather than sort of proving it. Tov erech apayim migibor, u'moshel barucho melochet ir. Now, these are two different levels. The first level is erech apayim. Erech apayim means patience. So someone who could sort of take retribution for someone who did wrong by him. So an erech apayim is someone who doesn't act impulsively. You learn to control your impulses. You don't act now. You can push it off to later. That's better than a gibor, meaning like a war hero, someone who's just got, you know, big guns and big muscles. But a higher level is Moshel Barucho, someone who's totally in control of his spirit, meaning he doesn't get swayed by his emotions at all. Melochir, he's better than someone who controls the whole city, meaning he can control himself and actually doesn't ever take the retribution because he knows what's right and wrong. You think about the Rambam and Hilchos Deos talking about, you know, the being in the middle. The point is, you're exact in the middle. You don't have any predilection towards any particular, you know, Deya or, you know, Mida, Tchunas HaNefesh, any sort of particular characteristic. You are rational and you do what's right and what's good and what you decide what's good and bring you closer to Hashem and following His Torah. That's what arbitrary decisions, not your emotions at all. Then you have the third, by the way, I should speak on that. This is actually brought on the Halacha. First din in Shulchan Aruch says, Yisgaber Ka'ari, a person should strengthen himself like a lion, meaning when he faces Yetzar in the morning, he should control it and get up, be fearless, like a lion, doesn't care about what's, not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of Yetzirah. If it's more powerful than you, subdue it. And the Rambam says, this is actually worth keeping in mind, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, at the end of the fourth parak there, he says, Eino ochel klo mina machalim haraim, one who doesn't eat any of the kind of foods that's not good for him. You don't eat fatty foods and processed foods and added sugar foods. You don't do that because it's not good for you. You know that. If you can resist that, Harei ze gibor. That's what it means to be a gibor, says the Rambam, echoing this Mishnah very much. Someone who's totally in self-control, you only know how much we are torn between eating the foods that taste good but not good for us. That's a challenge day in and day out. And the Rambam says the guy who succeeds, Kovishes Yitzro, he is the gibor. Okay, now, the third of the four is Ezehu Ashir, who is the rich person. Hasamech Bechalkel, the one who is happy with his portion. So, according to the Bar Tanura, what's the kind of wealth that brings you closer to Hashem? It's the kind of wealth that says, listen, I can stop pursuing wealth and focus on my Torah and mitzvahs because I don't need to make more money. I'm not chasing after making more and buying more and acquiring more and having more. So I can focus on my relationship with Hashem. That's the wealth you're looking for. According to the Ruach Chaim, how does an Anav relate to money? He says, listen, I'm a stopping muat. I need what I need to live, and more than that, I'm interested in helping others and doing right and growing towards Hashem and develop myself. I don't need to have more stuff for and control more things. Don't. And according to the Bukolti of Barbanel approach, what's it mean to be Ashir in objective terms? Everyone could be richer than a race for richer, richer, richer. The poorest person, you know, on your street today lives a life that's like so much better than a king of a 500 years ago, just because they have air conditioning, they have the vaccines, they have flushing toilets. Imagine a world without toilet paper. Okay, so every person, even a very poor person, has toilet paper and a flushing toilet and a heater and air conditioning, which a king would have done anything for and didn't have it 500 years ago. So he was rich then, but now we don't consider ourselves rich. The point is, you can get used to with whatever you have. It's sort of this hedonic cycle. You get used to whatever you have. Rav Noach Weinberg used to say, so worth remembering, he used to say, how much would you pay for, how much should I give you to take your eyes? Of course, I'm not giving my eyes for $50 million. Even though a person knows that he won't make $50 million in his whole lifetime, but it's not worth it to give up your eyes even for that. So you see, Rav Noach used to say, if a person can get bored with having eyes, not taking them, taking them for granted, not appreciating what you got, he can get bored with anything. You think if your eyes aren't going to make you excited in the morning, all of a sudden having a Maserati in the driveway is going to make you excited about getting up in the morning? Wrong. So, Hasamech Bechelko, appreciate what you have, and then you can enjoy it. If you're not Sameach Bechelko, then all the stuff you have is going to be nothing to you. Okay, then the proof text is Yegia Kapecha Kisochel Ashrecha V'Tovlach. This is really important. Here we're saying that it's Ashrecha Bolam Hazep. There's no better good fortune, no better situation that a person can have in this world than being self-sufficient. So Yegia Kapecha means that by the work of your own hands, Kisochel, that's what feeds you. That's an achievement worth talking about. That's a person who has that. He has, what more could he ask for? Tovlach lolam haba means that guy will have a good in the world to come as well. It's good for him because he's not reliant on others. He's not driven to do a sin. He can't be compromised because he doesn't feel that he needs to compromise in his morals and his principles because he needs stuff, which many people do. People aren't sameach b'chalko. They're prepared to cut corners and do not the right thing to get what they think they need, but that's just a mistake. This is also brought in lahalacha. The tour in Yeradeya Reish Mem Vav says, Mala gadol l'misha misparnas mamasa yadav. It's a great level for someone who can be self-sufficient, support himself. That's a great thing. Uva zoch lechol hakavod. Through that, a person can get all the honor and tova ba'olam hazat that there is to have in this world, all the good there is to have. What more could you ask for? You support yourself. Everything else is like a joke. So that's who an usher is. A person who's happy with what he has, sufficient, self-sufficient. That's as good as it gets. Everything else is chasing a mistake. And finally, the Ezu Mechubad, who's the person worthy of respect? So now, according to the Bar Tanura, this is going to be like a standalone thing because the Yirmiyahu didn't mention self-respect, okay? Didn't mention the respect of others. So here we have something else. Now, what are you chasing your Chachma and your Gvura and your Shiras for? Because you want Kavod. You want people to look up to you and admire you. But that's a mistake, right? You're chasing after Kavod gets you nowhere. It'll run from you. The person who is honorable, worthy of respect, he's a mechabed esabrios. He is someone who respects others. In other words, again, the idea is that what does it mean to be intrinsically worthy of respect? A person, you give respect to someone who's like rich or smart or powerful because you want something from them or you're afraid of them, but you don't actually really respect them necessarily. If you check on your own experience, you'll see who the people who you think of as like people who really are worth admiration, respect, honor, kavod. Those are people who, you know, experience, see, they're good to other people, they respect others. And we're talking here about, if you want a litmus test, it's when you're respectful and kind and considerate of the people that you can easily be disrespectful to and get away with it. So how do you treat the person at the coat check-in, the waiter at your table, when you're checking in with your at the airport with your plane, you know, the plane check-in? These people there to serve you, so you can sort of be dismissive or disrespectful to them and like nothing's going to happen, right? But no. The mechabed eskol habrios means someone who respects everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. That person is respects others, so therefore he's worthy of respect. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, ki mechabdai achabed uvozai yekalu. This is Hashem speaking, and there's two ways to understand this. Either Hashem is saying, the people who respect me, I will respect, and the people who disgrace me will be cursed. So either it means it's like a kol v'chomer. If Hashem is prepared to honor people who honor him, so kol v'chomer, it's just human nature that other people will respect you if you respect them. Okay, others don't like that approach because you don't even need a pasuk to learn that. If you want people to respect you, you got to respect them. It's, you know, the simple reciprocity is everyone can know without a pasuk. So therefore, the other approach is that it's a kol v'chomer, excuse me, that it's a limud from Hashem. You might have thought, well, I have to give respect to other people? The answer is no. Even Hashem gives kavod to people who are worthy of it, and so should you. Everyone is a tzelem elokim, and therefore you should make it your business to be mechabed, to honor, respect other people. And ironically, the more you flee from honor and give it to others, the more it will come to you, and you'll be intrinsically worthy of that respect.